Tuesday, 17th of March, Kof Aleph Adar, Rabbi Malcolm Herman, 600,000 letters in the Torah.
So the there's a very famous statement, which is originally from the Zohar, and it's quoted all over the place, that there are 600,000 letters in the Torah. And those letters in the Torah correspond to Nishmas Yisrael. For every Neshama of Klal Yisrael, there's a letter in the Torah. And we find that this, the whole concept, of course, is consistent with the way we look at things anyway. We say Yisrael, and the Kutub Rifa, and the Raisa, Chadu, the Klal Yisrael, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Torah are all intrinsically linked. So the idea that there is an intrinsic link, an innate link between ourselves and the Kriya Sefer Torah and the Sefer Torah is critical. It's also reflected a little bit in an unusual halacha, which hopefully we don't have to fulfill. But the Gemara says in Moed Katan that if Rahman and Islam, a person is there in the Shach Patira of another year, so a person has to do Kriya. So the person is present. The Patira of another year, the person has to do Kriya. Why so? Because Chai Vikra, Eshe Kedushas Nishmas Kol Echem Reisrael, He Kedushas Sefer Torah Mamish. Morin Moed Katan in Chafei. A person is there, present, at the Patira of another year, whether they are related to the person or not, so you have to do Kriya. The truth is that the Tamim and Hagim brings that to a degree this minhag, I'm not sure what the practice is, I've seen different practices in all honesty, has not everybody keeps. It is because Kadesh Le'yo Adam Meis Yechidi She'en Hoch Le'yo Ghostis Slowly Kura B'gdehem. There's a certain concern if one imposed that the people may not be there B'shas P'tiras Adam, and because of the concern about their own clothes. Nonetheless, the halacha is that the essential halacha is the person is supposed to tear kriya if they are present at the patira of another yid. Why so? Because that neshama is synonymous with kedusha sefer Torah. The question is that there aren't 600,000 letters in the Torah. There are nowhere near 600,000 letters in the Torah. There are any guesses? 304,805. Absolutely, yeah. Spot on. There are 304,805 letters in the Torah. So there are 5,488 psukim. So for there to be 600,000 letters in the Torah, you'd have to have in excess of 100 letters per pasuk, right? That's a letter. 100 letters per pasuk, and that's way out. The Pnei Yeshua brings that he did a random count of 50 pesukim and found it was way out. And many mefarshim asked the question. Okay, you want to give a share? but the question is, how do you reconcile that number with the actuality of what there is in the Torah? So there are really an interesting way. There are essentially two different approaches. There is a sefer called Mikra Masera by Reuven Margolius that I think is more familiar with in terms of the sefer Margolius Hayom and Sanhedrin, and he has a whole mimer on this thing. So I'd like to share with what he shares and also from elsewhere as well. But essentially speaking, you can look at it. There are really two approaches to this. There are those, if you like, who take a literal approach, and essentially those who look at it almost from a literature perspective, that if we say there are 600,000 letters, then somehow or other we have to calculate a number that absolutely approximates to 600,000 letters. And those who take a more esoteric approach, that they look at it beyond the empirical and share ideas beyond that. I'd like to share some approaches both ways around. What's interesting to note is Gemara in Sanhedrin says, Lama Nikra Yisrael Sofrim, why are we called Sofrim? Because we know how to count. Because they can count the letters in the Torah. Okay, the Gemara in Lamed Amud Aleph in Kedushin, and one of the Farshim says that the Maaseh that Gemara itself indicates that it can't be a simple calculation, because you wouldn't need to be called Lamed Nikri Shonim Sofrim, because they now have to count letters in the Torah. If it was a simple 1 and 1 plus 2 calculation, then you wouldn't need any great accolade to be considered to be able to count less. So if I suppose from the Gemara itself, it's clear that there are calculations here which require more detailed analysis or more chokhmah. So the inner sefer, so you bring this from Avram Azulai, that one suggestion is that actually the letters can be spelled out as words. They could be spelled out as words on aleph, on pei, basis, top, etc. So every letter could also be spelled out as a word, and maybe the calculation is configured by seeing each letter in its fullness. Let me know it in its fullness. The problem there is going to be, going to overshoot considerably. because most letters, all letters in fact would have with at least two or three, most would have three, and therefore you're going to overshoot considerably. Panesha himself in Kiddushin suggests as follows. He suggests that we need to look at Yesh Emin Mikra and Yesh Emin Maseret. So we're familiar with the concept Yesh Emin Mikra, Yesh Emin Maseret, which means that sometimes there is a discrepancy between the way that a word is written and the way that a word is read. So the Gemara in Sukkos has a whole sukkah there about it. Sukkos, how many walls must a sukkah have? So the Torah states three times the word Sukkos, and once it states it with a vav and twice without a vav. So how do you read it? How do you analyze it? If you looked at it once with a vav and twice without a vav, you have a reference to four types of sukkahs, the four sukkahs. If you read it each time with a vav, you'd have a reference to six. Each word would be plural and six. So that's the origins of the machlokas over there, to whether the sukkah needs to have three walls or two walls, tafa tafa, etc. The Mishnah there says that the Maaser, that there's only, everyone agrees there is credence to Mikra and Maseres. The only question is when there is a clash. When there's a clash in halacha between Mikra and Maseres, so then which one is predominant? So says the Bnei Yeshua, maybe this is the root forward, this would be the root forward, that the Maaser, most letters could be have Mikra, or many words have Mikra and Maseres, could be read one way and written another way, and therefore this would give us our calculation. Again, he suggests there may be some overshoot, but it's not true for every word, not true for every letter, and therefore therefore maybe that will get us to the number of 600,000. So that is another approach which looks at it in a literal sense. Is there a way which we can calculate it literally to be able to reach this number? The truth is that the Reuven Margulis himself suggests that even this way you're probably going to overshoot. In all probability, you're probably going to overshoot the figure. So, let me share with you another way. Which he himself brings, and this is there he brings the Gemara in Yerushalmi, the idea that in fact when we look at the Torah itself, it isn't just the actual letters we look at, but it's the parchment itself. As you said, the Gemara in Yerushalmi, that the Torah is written Eish Shachayra al Gabi Eish Kavona, that the Torah is written black fire on white fire, and that the parchment itself is the white fire and the letters themselves are the black fire. Black fire on white fire. And we'll come to a minute a suggestion as to exactly what that means. But again, we see reflected in Halakha that it isn't just the letters that have Kedusha, but the parchment themselves have Kedusha. So again, the Gemara brings that if Chas V'Shalom a person sees a Sefer Torah Shenisha, the Sefer Torah that is burning, then we have to do Chas V'Shalom, the person has to do a Kriya twice. Once for the letters and once for the Gvil. Once for the letters and once for the parchments. Of course, we know full well in halacha itself that the parchment of the spaces between the letters are critical for Kedusha Sefer Torah. If you've got two letters which are touching, then that itself is a Psalm of Sefer Torah. So the parchment itself constructs the letters. The space between the letters is part of what creates the letters themselves. Reflecting the halacha, and if that space is not there, then the Sefer Torah itself could be invalid. And we, the various halachas are between each word, there's got to be the space of one oath, the parashas stumos and parashas psuchos, the space has to be between parasha and parasha. So if somehow or other you could make the calculation as to what the parchment would equate to, then you would get this figure. Now this of course is not empirical. Lama nikru rishon sefrim, why they call sefrim? Because here there is a chachma, here there is an analysis which is beyond most of our ability to be able to really access. So therefore, the suggestion is that nonetheless, that somehow or other, this is the where the calculation comes. For this, he brings a fantastic raya, a very interesting raya. Brings a Gemara in Sota. Actually, a Tosis in Sota on Bati Zayin. It's talking about Parshas Sota, and Tosis brings as follows, that in Gemara in Shabbos, in Daf Ayin Ches Rebeis, the Gemara talks about the minimal shiurim of klaf that to carry on Shabbos before you're over this rice of Shabbos. What's the minimum shiur of a piece of klaf? We know that for Hilchos Shabbos, of course, the shiurim for everything before you transgress. So if you were to carry out a piece of klaf, a piece of parchment, what size must that parchment be before it traverses and transgresses? So the Gemara over there says that a klaf could they lift over lof parasha katana shebetvilin shema Yisrael. That it would be the size of parchment on which one would write the smallest parasha of tefillin. The smallest parasha of tefillin is the first parasha of tefillin to Shema, And Klaf, could they lift up above Shema Yisrael? If you carry out that size of parchment, so then a person will have transgressed. For example, the Kasha, that the Parsha, a minor Katani Parsha Zota, to Shir Zuta. Why not say Parsha Zota? Parsha Zota is a smaller Shir. It's a smaller Parsha. It's Machlokes of Gemara exactly what we mean by Parsha Zota, but it's certainly according to one Shir, it's a smaller Shir. Now, why didn't the Torah, why didn't we say that you, when you transgress Hilchos Shabbos in carrying, only when you carry out a piece of parchment which is sufficient to write on Parsha Zota? So Tosafot himself answers, because Pasha says with the Shchiach, as Pasha's Tefillin, it's not as frequent, and the Klal is, Kol Milch the Shchiach, the Shchiach, also Rabbon and Basin the Shchiach the Kulim. That when you have something which is Shchiach or less Shchiach, so it's a Kulim over here, because Pasha's Seta is a smaller Pasha, but we say you only transgress when you carry out the Klal sufficient on which to inscribe Pasha Shema. So Rabbi Margulius brings in his notes here an interesting suggestion. He says that if we take this analysis, that when you are assessing the size, you don't just look at the letters, but you look at the spaces required in the Parsha. So it's true that Parsha Sota is smaller in letters, but it has more words. It has more words. And therefore, there are going to be, ultimately, there are going to be more spaces in Parsha Sota than there are going to be in Parsha Shema. In fact, he gives the exact calculation that in Parsha Shema there's going to be, including the spaces, the equivalent of the 252 letters, and in Parsha Sota it's going to be 254. So he suggests, so for emphasis Kasha, that yes, it's true that Sota is a smaller Parsha in terms of letters, but not in terms of calculation of letters plus spaces. It's less letters, but it's more words, and the more words therefore create. So he brings us as a riot, that the Maaser, that therefore we can take into account not just the spaces, but also, not just the words, but the spaces as well. Let's just pause for a second for one track on the idea of Eish Chayal and Eish Tavona. I saw this once, and I couldn't find it in the Maaser in preparation for today, but I think I saw it in Kedushas Levi. In this comments on Shavuos, but I don't know why I couldn't find it in preparation. But a very interesting track in terms of this. What does it mean, Eish Chayal and Gabi Eish Tavona? So it says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah, so the color white is the color that represents his Kodol HaKol. Anything on white, we all know from the Shabbat tablecloth, anything on white, anything that falls on white, it you can see it. It's Kodol HaKol. The color black is a confined, it's a limited color. That if you put something else on black, you can't see it. So Kaviyochel, as it were, in terms of colors, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Elohim, whereas Kodol HaKol is represented by the color white. But humanity is represented by the color black. There's limited dimensions, limited ability to encompass other things. When the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave the Torah, then the Kodesh Baruch Hu allowed, as it were, Kaviyachol, his own choices to be limited by the commitment of Klal Yisrael. That lo ma'asim v'lo ge'altim l'chaleisha. That the Kodesh Baruch Hu never destroyed Klal Yisrael, whatever we did. It was an eternal covenant, eternal bris. The Torah would never be forgotten. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah, he gave it Eish Shechorah al Gabei Eish Levonah. He allowed the Eish Shechorah almost to dictate to the Eish Levonah. Very beautiful chat. Once that bond was made, once that unity was formed, once that bris had happened, therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu's own choices were limited by HaKadosh Baruch Hu's commitment to Klal Yisrael. Just a very nice chat. So I'd like to share with you another chat, which is a very unusual chat that I came across in the Sefer to the Emes Yaakov, the Sefer of Yaakov Kamenetsky. And actually, the back of the Sefer Yaakov Kamenetsky, he's got it's not actually his own. It says it's basically a recording of a shir that he gave. This same kasha, the 600,000 letters in Enigma, the 600,000 letters in the Torah. He says as follows. He brings the various other pshatim. Yeah, he brings the Hilchos Kriyas Sefer Torah. That if a sefer is writing Sefer Torah, it's as follows. This is in Perek Zayin Halacha Hey. Nizdamaloi Tevas Bas Chomish Osios. If a sefer comes across a letter, a word which is five letters, Lo Yiftov, and it's at the end of a line. So what do? You've miscalculated in some respect, and you've got a word of five letters at the end of the line, but you haven't got a space of five letters. Lo Yiftov Shtayim B'Toch Hadaf, B'Sholosh Chutz Hadaf. You're not allowed to write three of the letters outside. Sorry, two of the letters inside and three outside. I will kosev shodosh b'toch hadaf yishtayim chutzadaf. You've got to keep the majority of the word within the column. So you've come across, you've got a column, you're writing a sefer Torah, you've got a space at the end, and you've got a word of five letters to insert, but you haven't got a space of five letters. So what do you do? So the halacha is you've got to include the majority of the word within the daf, and the minority of the word, the mute of the word outside the daf. Now he notes that the language over here of the Rambam is a little unusual. I'll read it to you out again. The Zamna Tefis Bas Kamashosius. Now, what does he need to say here? He actually says, Lo yichtov shtayim betoch adaf, v'sholosh chutz adaf, avol koseid, sholosh betoch adaf, v'shtayim chutz adaf. You don't need to write, you mustn't write two within and three without. What you do is you've got to write three within and two without. Now, he didn't need to say that. That first phrase, it seems, was a little unnecessary, if one can say so. Because all he needed to write was, here's the instruction, you write three within and two without. Why did he need to negate the other option of two within and three without? Just write, right, three within and two beyond the daf. What was the Rambam communicating by, why did the Rambam need to negate the idea that you have to, that you can't write it that way around? As though somehow or other you might have had a half a minute, if I didn't set this around and make it absolutely clear, that you can't write three within, two within and three without, you might have done that. So, he also says, in the next Rambam as well, amazing observation of the Rambam. The Rambam writes, the Rambam talks about, if a server comes across a word which has 10 letters or less or more, right? Again, how do you work that out if you're short of space? What do you do? Says Rav Kamenetsky, that's a very strange halacha, because there isn't a single word in the Torah of 11 letters. Right? Longest word in the Torah, the Mishpacha, say him, there isn't a single word in the Torah with 11 letters. So what does the Rambam mean? It is Damlalo B'Soy Chashita, Tevez Bas, Esa Osios, Oy Pachas, Oy Yosef, or more or less. It's inconceivable that the Rambam would have written this. What does it mean? When the suggestion, however, that there might be a word in the Torah with more than 10 letters. When there isn't a word in the Torah with more than 10 letters. So, Rabbi Kamenetsky says, he says it, a suggestion as to how, well, there's clearly something beyond here, which is going on. So he suggests as follows, that maybe we can actually look at each letter in the Torah, I've actually got his exact calculations here, that each letter in the Torah as a unit of smaller letters. Now, I'm not talking about, like sometimes others do, which is another chat, removing my Golias Springs, that each letter is a composite letter. Right? For example, the Aleph is a Yod and the Vav and the Yod. That's another pshat that some suggest, but also there you're going to overshoot. No, but in fact there is a base unit of a letter, measured, it seems, in all the amount of English that you would use as a base unit of a letter, and every letter can be configured as a multiple of that base unit. Every letter can be configured as a multiple of that base unit. And in Kedar Kibbutz Kedish, Moshe has a chart at the end of it, where he shows the base unit of each letter, so Aleph is a 3, and a base is a 2, and a Gimel is a 1, etc. In terms of amount of ink, Mamish amount of ink that would be required, so in terms of the units of Yud required for this. Now, that being the case, it could be that you have a word which has a certain number of letters, but to calculate the letters in the word, you don't just look at the letters as you see them, but the number of base letters as it would be in this word. So what would happen if you had a word where you had three letters within the ksav, three letters in the daf, and two letters out, but the two letters out in terms of their base units were more than the three letters in. What? More than three letters in? So you might have thought, and over here in a second, when we said that you've got to have majority in, what does that mean? The majority of the letters that you see or the majority of the units that you would calculate. The majority of letters you would see, majority of units you would calculate. And it brings in from Parshas Noach, it is Achibi is Arki Vesasini, the sons of Canaan. Achibi is Arki Vesasini. Now, the actual letters, the Hey Samach Yud Nun Yud. The actual letters, if you were to write this word at the end, you'd follow the rules of Hey Samach Yud within and then the Nun Yud outside, you have majority within. The only way the problem is that if you look at his calculations, you're going to have more units of letters outside the word than inside the word. More units of letters. It's true that if you were to write Hey Samach Yud, if you were to write Hey Samach within and Yud Nun Yud without, okay, so, one second, sorry. That's right. If you write, you're going to have more letters. Even though in terms of actual letters, you're going to have more outside than in. That's right. I'm sorry. Way around. If you write hand stomach within and yod and yod without. Sorry. So it's true that in terms of actual letters, you have more without than within. In terms of base units, you'll have more within than without. Sorry, it's confusing. Again, hey, some of yod and yod. Right. If you're to write it to follow the standard rules, you'd write hey, some of yod within the column. And nun yod outside of the column. But the Meister makes it as follows, that the reality is, if you were to write hey samuch within and yod nun yod without, so you're going to have less actual letters in the column, but in terms of their units as a composite of the yod, you're going to have more within than without. So now the challenge, what do? You write hey samuch and yod nun yod without, so that you've got more unit letters within and less unit letters without? Or do I hate some of yours? They've got more actual letters within and less actual letters out. He says, that's what Rambam's coming to tell us. If you come back to Losh and Rambam, it says quite clearly, that don't write two within the column under any circumstances. Don't write two within the column and three without the column, even if you've got Epes HaChesbon, the calculation, that in some respect you've got the majority of the words within and the minority of the words out, because the halacha is that you go on visual letters, actual letters, not on calculated letters. Therefore he suggests that also when the Rambam talks about a word of 10 letters or more, well, the Rambam is referring to not the letters as we see them, but the units of letters as would be in terms of this calculation. Now, that being the case, he sees us through the halacha as a pesach to suggest that you can actually make a calculation as to how many letters are in the Torah. Not actual letters, but unit letters. Not actual letters, not unit letters. And if you look at it, in the at the very back, so you go, Imamish goes through, it calculates how many letters, how many alephs are on the Torah. There are 54,114 alephs in the Torah. Imamish, very yetish. And how many bases the whole way through. And it comes out, according to this calculation, you come very close to 600,000. You come to 576,452. And therefore he suggests that, as I say, without exception, that you could suggest that maybe this is the calculation, the type of calculation that might be required in order to reach the number of 600,000. So, well, you can look at it for yourself. I'm going to go through it. This isn't a guesstimate. This is a Yekish analysis, letter by letter. How many alephs, how many bases, how many gimels, how much does each letter constitute in terms of the base unit? What would be the ultimate calculation? These days we'll be on a spreadsheet, but pre-spreadsheet days. It comes with a number of 576,452. So basically you've got two broad approaches. So you've got, in terms of the, I suppose the more literature approach, you've got the Pnei Yeshua, Yeshem, Mikra, Yeshem, Maseres. You've got this type of approach. In terms of the more esoteric approach, you've got the idea that it's not just the Ketav that's there, but it's also the Gevurah as well. The Gevurah itself, Eish Chara and Gabi Eish Levana. Let me just kind of round off with a quote from which my friend and colleague, my David Roberts, put my way, from Pri Tzadik and Hazinu, from the Tzadik HaKohen. And he says quite simply, Ba'av she'en ha'chesh v'mechuvan, even though the calculation isn't quite accurate, kolos mischalek nitzotzos v'hutura shebichsav. That every letter splits into nitzotzos, that every letter splinters into sparks, and therefore the calculation is alpi kabbalah rather than alpi the ksav that we are familiar with. He brings a very, very beautiful, idea at the end. He says that when we say that the concept that every single member of Klal Yisrael, Shekhan Echad V'Yisrael, Yeshto Chelik B'Torah, V'Hunesh Lo Nesh and Nishmas Odom, that every single member of Klal Yisrael has a particular association with Torah, an intrinsic, a personal, individualized association with Torah. Now bringing the emotion of Mashiach, that's why we say that Retzeibu Nuchasenu, Kachin Mitzvasecha, and then we say V'Sein Chol Kein Mitzvasecha. The emotion of Mashiach, when Mashiach comes and a person is more in touch with their real self, then they'll have access to the real Torah that is theirs. And then he says that, it actually brings, which is good news for some and not good news for others. The Kivan Shekulam Yedu As Hashem Lo Yitzchuchu L'Monim U'L'Malamdim. Since each person in most Mashiach will know HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will have an association with themselves, Lo Yitzchuchu L'Monim U'L'Malamdim, that you won't need rabbis and teachers, B'chol Echad Yilmod Mineh Shalom. Each person will be so in touch with the spiritual selves that each person will know Ner Shalom. That's what we daven for. The recognition that once it's been in Beis Hamikdash and there's a Gilui Shechina that we yearn for, then each person intrinsically within themselves will understand their link to Torah, understand how the letter in the Torah represents them, and they will learn from that from Herod Yomir.